You.
Good.
We're going to mute everybody once we get kicked off here in a second. And I'm asking David to make, he may have already, or he may be working on it, make you, Mary Beth, and Karen co-host so you can unmute and mute as you need to during the meeting, okay?
Okay, I'm not one yet.
Yep, I just sent it to him. And then which one of you would like to go first in case he's not ready there? I can unmute you when it's time.
Karen.
All right, then it's decided. All right, I'm going to mute everybody and we're going to kick this off. I am unmuted. Okay, good. Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Grant and I'm an alcoholic. Housekeeping, we will be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting only. So any visual or video feeds, none of that's recorded, just the audio portion. In the chat, you will see the PayPal link for Seventh Tradition. We'll come back to that again later in the meeting, but it's up there if you want to contribute early on. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd like to welcome you. If you want to hit either the blue hand or wave at your screen, we'll call on you so you can make yourself known. Looking here, not seeing anybody. All right. Our preamble, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we'll be discussing step 11, and I would like to welcome our panel, Karen C. and Mary Beth A.
Thank you so much for having us back. It was such a privilege to be asked to come back to your group. So we're getting ready for a snowstorm up here. I don't know about you guys, but not looking forward to the snowstorm. Anyway, my name's Karen. I'm an alcoholic. I have a home group, and that is Journey to Freedom. It meets up here in North Jersey on Wednesday nights when we're in a meeting place, but we're on Zoom every Wednesday night at 7:30. We'd love to have you. If you want the information, happy to share it. We're a big book study group, open speaker meeting.
So I'm going to slow you down for 1 second, Karen, and read the first reading, and then let you continue from there, okay?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to share this with everybody so they can see it. And here we go. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying for only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which we should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Back to you, Karen.
Karen, alcoholic. So there's two crucial points, I think, that we need to talk about if we enter into step 11. It does suggest prayer and meditation. So I think the two points that we get an opportunity to look at here is that we turned our will over in step 3, and we get to receive God's will in step 11. You know, it's a huge point that we don't often see. In the beginning of the reading, we go through the day and we stop. It's a pause. We stop, you know, and then once again, there's a prayer there asking for the right thought, right? So one of the points that I really need to look at when we're looking at step 11 is we're asking to change the direction of our life. So, you know, we give up our direction in step 3 here. And then it's telling us that we're going to learn about the four pillars that Bill outlined for us as we walk through this prayer. It takes a lot of work, right? And the other thing I just want to mention as we talk about that, I think it's really amazing, almost miraculous, that Bill Wilson, such small spiritual experience himself, was guided to write something that people like you and me could totally understand. So Mary Beth, you want to share?
Sure. Hi, I'm Mary Beth and I'm an alcoholic. And it's good to be back with you guys tonight. I have a home group. It's called Design for Living. We're currently meeting online. We meet on Sunday nights for a big book study at 7 o'clock in Neptune. And on Wednesday nights at 7, we're an open speaker. Karen is my sponsor and I have a sobriety date of November 23rd, 1996. And it's really good to be here. You know, Karen, one of the first things I thought of when you had said, like, in step 11 is where we get to receive God. You know, in the third step, I am offering up to God. And in step 11, I get to receive. And right before, in the third step, where it talks about A, B, and C, you know, A, that I'm an alcoholic and cannot manage my own life. B, that no human power can restore me to sanity. And C, God could and would if he were sought. When I do 3 through 9, you know, it talks about an inventory. I straighten out spiritually. You know, 1, 2, and 3, I get right with God. Mentally, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Physically, go out in 8 and 9. When I come to 10 and 11, you know, this God, this power that I have been introduced to, step 11 allows me, gives me the pillars or the principles that I need to participate in order to receive from the offering from 3.
Okay, another point on the top of that paragraph that I think is important to point out, he says here, and this is a promise, it works, right? If we have the proper attitude and work at it. Well, what is this proper attitude? Praying for the presence of God, perhaps. Praying to be right here, right now. And then he goes on to say, which I think is also really curious, it'd be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some valuable suggestions. To that point, I think about his experience once again. It's almost like Bill Wilson wished that he could escape having to talk about this topic, right? But obviously he could not. He was writing something about prayer and meditation for a group of people like us. He knows are spiritually short. He says we shouldn't be shy about this matter, which means we shouldn't change this matter. You know, he probably, I would imagine from what I've read, he really didn't have a whole lot of experience and a spiritual experience himself when writing this on step 11. So the fact that he wasn't an expert in this field of prayer, I think, makes it so relatable to us. And I do, he had to keep it simple. And I do like to look at it that he calls these exercises we're about to review. You know, we looked at the first one, retiring at night, as the four pillars of prayer meditation. He refers to them as the four pillars. And first we look at, well, what do we do? I mean, what can we really wrap around ourselves as a practice and a discipline that's going to keep us in the center with our God? You know, and he calls them the four pillars of meditation. So we're going to look at these valuable suggestions. And the first one was, when we retire at night, we review our day. We review our day. That means we just take a look at it. It says we constructively, not destructively. We don't rip it apart. We don't take inventory of it. We just take a good look at it. And it gives us 9 points. I have them written in the back of my meditation book that I have at night. You know, and you quickly just check it out. Was I any of this today? Was I resentful? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Something happened. Do I owe an apology? And it's just checking. You know, and if 10th step is part, you know, our walk around step during the day, something's come up, it's going to be reviewed that night. And maybe, just maybe, it's going to need some more work on it. But he's not saying you don't do the work now. What he's saying is that we're going to review our day. Just review our day. Don't drift into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. Don't think about what you didn't do right during the course of the day. Because my sponsors told me over and over again, there is never a day that you didn't do something right. Mm-hmm. Our perspective is to pick up what we don't do instead of what we do do. There's never a day that just staying sober is a great thing. I stayed sober today. That is great, because otherwise we're going to diminish our usefulness to others. It says right here. So then it's telling, giving us a direction. And here we have a direction here. After making this review, yes, no, maybe, I don't know, right? Review. We ask God's forgiveness and inquire. That means I'm going to ask further. You know, like I'm going to ask further about some action I might be able to take. And I can tell you my experience on this when I do that and I do that reflection and I ask. I got to tell you, when I wake up in the morning and I take that moment, as we're going to say on awakening, when I take that moment, those questions I asked when I went to sleep, and I sleep extraordinarily well, are answered. Mm-hmm. Some of it might mean call your sponsors. Some of it might mean pick up the phone, but the intuitive thought starts to be a stream. I'm connected to this intuitive thought because I asked to be at night. Maribeth, you wanted to add anything to that?
Yeah, I do. Just a couple of things. So one, when you talk about the proper attitude, you know, I have written down here on page 55, and when I go back to page 55, it's talking in We Agnostics that God's deep down inside of me.
That's right.
And that proper attitude is one of surrender and searching diligently within and being honest. And that's kind of the first pillar that you just spoke about, Karen, because that's all within me. Because when I get into step 10 and 11, and I know we're focusing on 11, I'm no longer looking at you. I've done that in, you know, 4 through 9, cleaned it up in 9. So now what 11 allows me to do is that proper attitude of looking within at Mary Beth. And for the longest time, I didn't get constructively. I missed that part, which is a game changer. I thought that this inventory, it's amazing. We were just talking about this the other day. Like, all of a sudden, there's words that pop up in the big book that were never there before.
Yeah,
it's like, no matter how many times I've read it, and it was a while, you know, I've known it's been constructively because I have an 11-step practice. And I know it's been constructively for a long time, but when I first started this practice, I missed that. So I thought this was an exercise in looking at what Mary Beth did wrong. I didn't get the part where constructively is where I get to tap into God, you know, and look at what I've done right and look at the corrective measures. And so the other thing too, it says we use it constantly. Like this, had to become a practice for me. Like I can't do this once a month. Like I was, because I wasn't reaping the internal benefit from doing it every single night. So it's a practice that I had to establish. And it says it works. One of my favorite things I love in the 12 and 12 is that in the 12 and 12, it calls these pillars is an unshakable foundation. It says, when I pray, and I'm paraphrasing this, guys, I'm not a quoter. So please, if I get a word wrong, I'm paraphrasing. But it says, in the 12 and 12, it says, if we pray, meditate, and write inventory, on their own, they're going to give me some relief. But all three of them together, constantly, constructively, when they're interwoven in my life, it makes for an unshakable foundation. So the attitude, right, is my willingness. My willingness, my complete willingness is what my foundation is built on in this spiritual arch. And then with prayer, meditation, and inventory, my foundation can become unshakable when life shows up. Not if. It's I do this, so when life shows up, I'm unshaken because I've developed this discipline and this practice and this constructive way of looking at myself that cements my willingness in this spiritual foundation. And I too, like you, Karen, every night I write it in a book and I start out with a letter to God. And, you know, I'm able at the end of the night to put my head on the pillow and tomorrow morning know what I'm bringing constructively into the day. Because if I don't write this stuff down, some of which has to be written, I take it with me. I take it with me and it builds. And then when I wake up in the morning, even before my eyes open, I'm behind the eight ball. So this allows me to leave it with God. And then when I awaken in the morning, look at the 24 hours that we're about to look at now.
So one more point on this first part, because this was really important to me. A discovery of this review of where was I or was I in any way? Two things happened. One was I began to have a transformation of heart and mind because I was truthfully looking at the day. I was discovering, was it self-will? Was it self-will that caused that uncomfortability? Or am I growing through something that I need to grow through to get to where I need to go with God's plan? Was this so it was like God's will working through me that was uncomfortable, or was it self-will interfering? And I have begun to have that sense of which one is going on. And what it has done is it has been able to center me into knowing where I came from. You know, I have a tendency to have a specific reaction if my emotional security is threatened. I know that about me. Mm-hmm. So I look for that to make sure that it's in truth, right? The other thing is that I know where I am right now, right here, right now. And also I know where I'm going. And because I know that the God wants for me is just to be the best version of me. Mm-hmm. So I don't physically know where that might be, but I do know that it's in concert with God, you and me. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. It's like a knowingness that allows that to honestly see the things that I need to work on. There might be an amends. I might have uncovered an unexpected expectation, which I did over the weekend, of somebody that I really need to make right, because that's a powerful emotional grab on another human being to have an emotional expectation. And I discovered that. what I'd done wrong and where it could be different. And it came through the meditation. The inventory, it's the order that works for me, is inventory, meditation, and then prayer. And then the answers come with the prayer. That's the order that works for me. And this transformation that has occurred could not have come if I hadn't developed or had the desire to develop growing my spiritual life. Mm-hmm. I have a desire to do that because I, plain and simple, don't want to be who I was. I don't want to drink. But more importantly, I don't want to be the person I was. I want to grow in effectiveness and understanding. I want to be able to be present in my life despite what I think about my life. I want to be present in my life even if I'm upset about my kids or something going on there, that I can like let that be and let God take it to where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. And this review, this one started, I mean, it was like instant, plus you get instant gratification and we're all after that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had instant results because suddenly I had a new thought about what to do next. That thought was never there before. So I know it didn't come from me. Mm-hmm. So the review isn't ripping apart. The review is allowing God to bring me to a solution. And that is one of the gifts of this part of the pillar. Mm-hmm. So this first pillar that Bill speaks about that we get to practice as we go around the block or our day is this nightly review. It is incredible. So I know we talked a lot about that one.
But one other thing I just want to say too is they introduce step 11 as our vital sixth sense.
Yes.
And that sixth sense is God consciousness. And this allows me to stay in the realm of that sixth sense. And sometimes for me, the order may be in prayer. Like I just say, God, show me, use me. Use me. And then, you know, I say all the time, like the most spiritual tool I have is a pen. And when I pray before I go ahead and write this, you know, stuff will get revealed that in nightly meditation or in morning meditation, it shifts my God consciousness. It helps me to grow God more and shrink Mary Beth. And so it's just, it's vital, like how they introduced step 11.
Wow, you guys crushed it. All right, let's see if we can get this next reading up and see what other brilliant stuff you guys get to bring for us.
Oh, we love this stuff.
Yeah.
This is awesome. All right, we're on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. All right.
All right, parent alcoholic. All right, first of all, this paragraph blew me away. There are 10 times on these two pages that it's we ask. That means that we're praying, mm-hmm. we're seeking, we're looking, we're inquiring as to something before that we didn't even know. So on awaking, it said, think of my 24 hours a day. The first thing I used to do is get up, take a shower, get my coffee, maybe do prayer and meditation if I thought about it. you know, I don't do that today. Mm-hmm. I've slowed my morning life down, and I'm not a 20 minute OM kind of meditation. I have a really big job and I have a lot of responsibilities, but I got 5 minutes for God. I absolutely have 5 minutes for God. And it started by putting a sticky note like on the ceiling over my bed, pray in my, where I brush your teeth, medicine cabinet. I would put reminders out until it became a habit. So I had to do that for me. So if somebody has to do that for you, I'll just pass along a suggestion that works. It says, we consider our plans for the day, you know, looking at the day. But here is a powerful statement. We ask God to direct our thinking, and that I'm asking right when I get up. All right, God, come along for the ride. You know, I'm going to like put my step three in action here, and I want God to direct my thinking. And this is huge, especially that it be divorced. I'm divorced. It's an incredibly painful experience. I read that word, and what this is telling me is that I have to be divorced from me. That the direction that God is giving me is, listen, Kara, we've had enough of you. You need me and you. You need to be divorced from your self-centered thinking. So here is the valuable tool of this part of this prayer. And there, you read a whole bunch. So this is the second pillar, right? I am asking God to direct my thinking for the day. I'm inviting him in. I'm saying, okay. I want to be divorced. Powerful word for me. It's powerful. It was very painful to go through that process. It was a whole new rebirth of who I am and what I am and what I stand for, just like an Alcoholics Anonymous separating from alcohol. New rebirth in the way I needed to think, act, be, interact. Totally different than what I ever did before. And I need help. One of my big character defenses was I couldn't tell you that I was vulnerable, that I needed you to give me an answer or a solution. I'd figure it out, because in figuring it out, I wouldn't be ridiculed. I wouldn't be ostracized. I might be included. That didn't always happen, you know, but I wouldn't be fired. I mean, I'd come up with the answer because it was way too vulnerable for me to ask. So then you introduce this step three concept where I'm offering myself to this God that I understand God, and I'm asking him to help me with my difficulties. Mm-hmm. Everything that I used to think and do was difficulty. It's not today, but I'm asking God right here to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest and self-seeking motives. That means manipulation. That means trying to set it up so I win. I mean, there's a whole list of things that we can outline. God doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to be the best version of me and a demonstration of grace in his life, in my life. Mm-hmm. So it says, under these conditions, here's a promise. I get to employ my thinking, my mental faculties with assurance. This is where God gives me back my will, mm-hmm. along with his. I get to be separated from how well I love this passage. So it's telling me, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid in this. When you're divorced from your self-seeking motives, I am asking me to be divorced from that fear. I'm asking to walk with the power that I understand, the highest of powers in my day, to direct my thinking through that day. That's what I'm asking for in the morning. And then it goes on to say, I might face indecision, third pillar. I will face indecision. It's not that I might. I've had a long time away from a drink, but I face indecision. Like, I just don't know what to do here. So I'm given the direction. You pause. What's up? Okay, I've come up against me again. You know, whatever that might be. I've come up against me, and God, I need your help here. And then the intuitive thought will come. My shoulders come off my ears a little bit. And I ask, what should I do here? And like that, answers start to arrive in ways that I never used to think. And it promises that what used to be a hunch or occasional becomes a working part of the mind. Now I know when I'm feeling some kind of way, and I can identify the some kind of ways when I'm separated from God and when I'm feeling some kind of way. I can feel it. And the more you practice this, the more you feel that you're off base, that I've separated from it, that I've come off the chart. And I have to ask God to help me stay there. Help me walk this. I like how I feel when I'm connected. I do. I like how I feel. I like how I respond to people. I like how I show up. I don't like it when I'm not connected. So when I face indecision, if I haven't asked for direction, I'm more than likely to walk that out on self-will. And I don't really want to let that cage open. You know, I'm more than likely to do that on an instant spontaneous response. So the more I practice the pause, the more I bring that when I face indecision, I have an opportunity and now can tell you the experience that letting God direct my thinking results in fabulous things and awarenesses. And awarenesses as I walk, I've come to rely on that. It says it right here. I've come to rely about it, right? It says we might pay for this presumption about this contact with God and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I don't know. What it's really telling me is that this is really about God's influence in my life. I've come to understand for me that God's the embodiment of all these spiritual principles that I have learned. And that's the influence on my life brings me to a level of and a desire to stay close to him, perform his works well. So Mary, you want to add something to that?
Sure. God, there's so much I want to add. So yeah, I was just like, I wanted to just like interject, but I had to pause, right? And let Karen speak. So it ends this step 11 with we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us. And I have to go back to that these disciplines that I now incorporate in my life did not just come overnight. It's something that I have had to do and practice and do, you know, on a daily basis. And so 24 plus years ago, now I was one of the scoffers at prayer. I thought prayer didn't work because I didn't pray. Okay. And one of the first prayers I was taught was just when you open your eyes in the morning, just say, ask God to help you stay sober. And at night, say, thank you. That's a prayer I've been saying for 24 plus years. It was the only one I said probably for the first two. So on awakening is immediately, I've just been disciplined to connect with God. But I, like you, Karen, like I thought when I think about the 24 hours ahead, I'm like, okay, when I'm in the car driving to work, like I didn't realize that, you know, these 24 hours ahead for me have to start when I roll over and get on my knees. Because, you know, the way this describes me is, and when you talk about being divorced from, I think of relieve me of the bondage of self. Because this is all self. So what I'm asking him to do is divorce me from me, you know, because I will have self-pity and dishonest or self-seeking motives. And the word motive for me means I have an agenda. So if there's, for me, it's either pure intent or a motive, or I like how you like to put it, Karen, is an expectation. So I need to, like, right off the bat, just say, God, look, you know, let me use me and let me allow you to direct the day instead of me. And sometimes, you know what, guys, I just have like a simple conversation like I'm having with you right now. Like, it does not have to be anything formal. It does not have to be anything, you know, I do it during the day too. I'm like, oop, you know, like, God, okay. So my thinking was all me. It wasn't you. Let me regroup here. But I get the chance, I get the opportunity to ask for divine influence, ask for God's inspiration and not Mary Beth's. And I love where it says here, like, I don't have to struggle. I don't, you know, I can relax and take it easy. I don't have to resist like I have to meet resistance with no resistance. Because like I said, I talked about the unshakable foundation that I have. When I go out into the world, life doesn't react the way Mary Beth wants it to react. But these practices help me to, it's okay. I don't even care how it reacts most of the time. I don't have to struggle. I can relax. I can take it easy. I can rely on God and not rely on a sponsor who doesn't pick up the phone or a network who may not pick up the phone or a home group or meetings, because it talks here about relying upon divine influence. Like that's the inspiration that that I get to rely on. And you know, what used to be the hunch gradually becomes a working part of the mind. For me, that comes with a lot of mistakes I've made. That comes with the nightly inventory that I do at night. Sooner or later, I'm going to get tired of doing the same stuff and writing the same stuff and having the same conversation with God. So that nightly inventory that I've asked God for corrective measures, he's given me a clean slate in the morning. If I start it with him, then if I'm, you know, relying more on him, I'm not going to go ahead and do the same thing I did the night before, the night before, the night before. So the way it unfolds for me is the practice of whenever I veer to the left or veer to the right, I'm disciplined or in tune with the simple. Like I think the name of your group grant is Simple Actions. These are simple actions that I have to do constantly, have to do constructively. When I veer off from them, come back on. And I am really often surprised after doing this for a while what the answers are with me when sometimes when I don't react, you know, Karen, you keep talking about a pause. Like I will sometimes in a situation just like allow God to just infiltrate me. And it's a completely different outcome. And it becomes more of my go-to, less than when it never became even a part of my go-to. So it allows me again, like each one of these pillars that you keep referring to, allow me to go back to God, grow God, and just, you know, if I believe God's the most important relationship I have in my life, these pillars are allowing me to participate in it with concrete instructions, directions that I can be witness to that work. And that's what this paragraph is a part of for me.
To one of the understandings I've come to about step 11 is that, you know what? This relationship between this God and me is truly a covenant. You know, it's a deal that I can do my self-will thing anytime I want, and I can turn to God anytime I want, and there it won't be an interference. So when I link those pillars around my day, you know, I have this day in nightly review and on awakening and now we're looking at indecision. I truly have accepted my humanness. Mm-hmm. I truly have accepted and can see my shortcomings, you know, and I believe there's a difference between, because of this, between a character defect and a shortcoming. A shortcoming is I've fallen short of my chosen ideal, what I really want to be. And a character defect is how I acted out. So I have a clear understanding of how I operate, of my operation. And so I can let God take over and go on with my day when I face this indecision. And then suddenly the solution comes, because pausing allows me not to have to keep barreling through on the situation looking for an answer. Because as we know, there is a solution. If I barrel through, I'm just trying to find the answer or whoever. And when I clearly, emotionally, total, everything about me, my whole self, mind, body, soul, understand that it's a spiritual solution, period. And I get in the way all the time. And being a human being, I realize my limitations. And I never realized a limitation, and that's not a bad thing for me. That's not good or bad, right or wrong. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings are feelings. And when I'm facing a decision, it's usually because a feeling needs to be, you know, I had a feeling take over a fact, you know, and I'm feeling it from a different point of view. So I ask for to see that different point of view. So I find this helps me to practice my program of Alcoholics Anonymous more effectively, so I can be more effective with those I come in contact with, or those who come in contact with me, that I can be who I want to be. And what I want to be is I just love some of the information that comes in. I get to be filled full of peace and serenity despite me. I think that's extraordinary, by the way, that I can live successfully when given an obstacle that is just a lot. You know, before I would just try to fix and manage and control and try to make it turn out the way I think it should, not with any bad motive. But if I just let God do it, I've got a lot more energy, and I'm not messing up, and I'm not harming others along the way. And that was something that I did often as I bullied my way through life thinking I needed to. So this facing indecision, this fourth pillar, has really helped me with the other two. I become very aware of who and what I am, where I am right here, right now, and where I need to go. It's in prayer, which is the fourth pillar, and you're about ready to get into it, Grant. There's the fourth pillar. And with those four pillars are strong things. They keep a structure up. I get to keep the structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. I get to keep it. So it's really powerful. So we're about ready to go on and read some more things here. So I get to have God's influence in my life. Me. Person like me. Influence from the highest of the highest.
I just want to say two things I was thinking, Grant, and then I promise you can go and read. A lot of what they are reminding me of in these pillars has already been introduced to me. So in the fifth step, admitted to God, to myself, and another human being. When I do this inventory at night and through the day, it's God, Mary Beth, and if I need to reach out, another human being. And like ninth step promise, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And then it's reminding me here of that intuition that I've already been able to experience the benefits from it, from the work from 3 to 9. Like when you started out, it's the offering of God, and in here he receives it. And this is stuff that I've already been introduced to that I get to solidify the foundation on.
There's one more line. It says, we've come to rely on it. And that means there's no end. There's no timeline. It doesn't get used up. There's no expiration date. You can simply rely on it. And just like God, there's no calendar, no clock, no nothing, no anything. So we get to rely that it's there. I mean, what else could you want? Okay, there we go.
And wait, just one more thing. I can't help but think of in how it works. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. So I'm aiming for spiritual perfection, and these disciplines are allowing me to look at my progress along the way. Okay, Grant, I promise I'm going to stop. Go ahead.
Sounds good. No, this is awesome. You guys are doing great. Let's see. We got page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. You're up.
Well, how much time do we have? So this is an introduction of the value of prayer. And he goes into talking about prayer, 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 prayer. And what does that really mean anyway, right? So it's there's in one, two, we ask from the freedom from self-will. Isn't that what we all started this deal out with to begin with? Mm-hmm. Is the freedom from self-will. Well, you know, I know that self-will is just there. You know, when I can feel it with what I think or what God and I think or what God thinks. So I understand that this period of meditation, the next step is to actually say, you know, God, just please use me in any way you can. You know, my prayer is for myself, if I can help other people. So there's a condition, wherever it says if, it's always a condition, never to pray for my selfish ends. You know, they throw that in there, I'm sure, you know, winning the lottery or some such thing like this. Wasted a lot of time praying for me. I had the formula all wrong. And the formula today is God, you, me. And I ask God to keep me in that alignment. That I ask God, you, and then me. And then by the time I get to even thinking about what's going on, I got to tell you something. It's a long lost idea or a feeling that has passed by. So many of us waste a lot of time. So I did waste a lot of time doing that. The truth is that this fourth suggestion of praying whenever crops up, right? The practice of it, this period of meditation, if you stop and you do that, the period of meditation, and then you stop and say, God, please guide me for the rest of my day. Even if I'm not praying for something specific, the specific comes and I'm prepared. I'm prepared in a way that I didn't know that I had the spiritual armor of preparation. Like I know when to leave. I know when to stay. I know when to come. I know when to say something. I know when to back down. Like instinctively, I know. Instinctively, I'll know I got to get back to that later. Instinctively, I know I'm about ready to say something I'm going to regret, so I better not say anything. I know it. I never knew that stuff before. I was totally inappropriate. But this way of living my life during the day, however, has brought me to a place of being the woman I want to be, you know, being appropriate, being accepted, being wanted into places I didn't think I'd be wanted to. So this prayer, I had an ineffective prayer life, mainly because it wasn't consistent and I hadn't practiced it. Because of consistency and willingness to do this, I have a very active prayer life and it's become an automatic pilot to connect with the power rather than to connect with the ego. It's just like really incredible. You know, God wants us to be self-sufficient, totally. Mm-hmm. You know, God wants us to do the things we can do and he'll never do for us what we can't do for ourselves. You know, that deal is still true. But we're people who are tribal people. We're made to rely on each other appropriately, not by taking each other hostage or having unmet expectations or having expectations and attachments that harm you. So what happens here for me is an appropriate relationship started to develop. And now they become part of my life. People that were important, I don't know, drifted away and they're not part of my life today. So the practice that when I practice is I get to live my life successfully. And I promise that. The third step promises, right before we say that third step prayer, which is an affirmation, mm-hmm. promises that. And it's true. I get to live my life successfully and I'm not afraid because of this. Mayor?
Yes. And you know what? I always thought there had to be a certain way to pray. And I have to tell you that all those foxhole prayers that I said when I was out there prior to coming in here, they work too, because that's what got me here. And I think that any ask is a prayer. And I don't think, you know, for me, I used to get hung up on the semantics of prayer. And now, you know, I can say third step, seven step prayers. I can pray in conversation. I can pick up prayer books. There are books that sometimes I'll read for a month that are devotionals. I just know that I don't need to get hung up on if it's got to look like anything specifically. I just need to do it. And I think this paragraph for me is where the receiving comes in, Karen, that you talked about. Like, God, you know, it's in the offering of myself in the morning or the night before when I get on my knees, and in the morning when I ask God to direct my thinking and free me, you know, not from the bondage of self, and help me to meet resistance with no resistance. And then what I receive is that I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be. That I just approach, you know, it talks about problems or circumstances or situations. I approach them differently when God's in charge. I do, you know, when it's just part of my spiritual fitness, you know, like I need to eat to stay full and drink to stay hydrated. And I need to do these spiritual disciplines to stay spiritually fit. So this is, you know, God does show me through the day what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I also, it was again, you know, like a couple of years ago where it says, we ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. That means I can make requests for Mary Beth if they help Karen. Like when I have spiritual, mental, and physical intentions for myself, I do that so I in turn can be useful and can be helpful, mm-hmm. and can serve God, and can be on that spiritual plane of being one of serving. And I don't, you know, I don't waste as much time today as I used to. I wasted years on this stuff, and I was so rigid on myself. And I believe in the disciplines is the flexibility, is that God is going to take me any way I am. He just wants me to participate in the relationship.
You know, there's another thought as Mary Beth was sharing that I think I just wanted to talk a little bit right here. So when it says that selfish and self-centered is the root of our troubles and we're driven by 100 forms of fear, what has happened from the point in the book on page 62 where it says that to here 25 pages later, now I'm driven by 100 forms of God.
God, yeah.
So what's happened is like I was lost. My life was lost and I'd be praying for God to get me out of trouble and bring me to this answer, not the solution, right? And now it's different. I found that as God directs my life through the practice of spiritual principles, the 12 steps and, you know, the redundancy of what we need to do. So, because we're undisciplined people, right? I've been changed and I understand that God is always good. And my prayer life surrounding that, as simple as it might be, and it is, you know, sometimes you get too hung up on the complication of what some of the spiritual practices can be. And it's mm-hmm. very simple for me. Mm-hmm. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about me today for a new experience with you. And I smile and I go on with my day. And I learned that I pick up the phone with a smile instead of a frown. You know, I've taken some of those things in to be a welcoming spirit, because me left without God, I'm not a welcoming spirit and you probably wouldn't be calling me. But with God's direction, step 11 has become a force in my life. It's kind of like, you know, a Jedi, if you want a comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, it is like that. You have this intuitiveness to just be, where I didn't realize that all I had to do was remember to pray if everything depended upon God, right? And work as if everything depended on me. And those things have brought in the amazing grace prayer that I was lost and now I'm found. What greater grace is there if I just would try to practice this? It's just so beautiful. So I was thinking about that as Mary Beth was sharing. That's the how of the why in it, right? Mm-hmm. I used to burn up all my energy foolishly trying to get to what I always wanted. And all I had to do was pause and ask. Amazing.
You know what, too, Karen, I was thinking when you were sharing is that God doesn't care how I do it. He just wants me to do it. God just wants me, warts and all. He doesn't care. He just wants me to participate. And the other thing I was thinking is when I came in here before I started this 12-step process, I was so lost. And step 11 has brought me home. Like, here is where I get found. And when I wander off again, and I do, and you know I do, and when I do, God says, that's okay, Mary Beth, just come back home. And coming back home are these simple actions, these disciplines that are outlined here in this step.
So God's directions say the power to go out. Mm-hmm. I don't have the power to go out without God. Mm-mm. You know, when you look at that 11th step, it's really a three-part direction. The power to carry that out, I need God to go out with the power to stay plugged in. Okay, sorry.
When I wake up and before I go out and when I'm out and when I'm at night and I'm with all these, anytime the answers are all right in here.
All right, ladies, I'm gonna pull back in. We're at that time where we're gonna do the last little wrap up. That's phenomenal. Like, just a phenomenal message tonight. Thank you so much. A little bit of housekeeping stuff. We got the seventh tradition, which states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. You can look in the chat and find the link to the PayPal account. You can also contribute through Tidewater, intergroup.org or AA.org as well. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA announcements at this time? You can either throw up the blue hand or wave at the screen. And I don't see any blue hands. I'm going to throw a quick announcement up in the chat. There's a group starting up January 7th here in the local area called the Mid-Atlantic Group. It's going to be basically a half speaker, half discussion format. First speaker's from Canada, Linda W. They meet on Thursdays at 6:45. Please come out and join them. The Zoom password and everything is in the chat. Any other announcements? I don't see any. All right. Also, you can look to tidewaterintergroup.org as well to see if there's any meeting closures, changes, any meetings that have gone from Zoom back to full time and vice versa. Let's see. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. All home group members, please raise your hands. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And we have additional information, info@simpleactions.net, where you can access both audio recordings of the meetings, as well as our contact information. In closing, I'd like to unmute real quick and let everybody have a second to say thank you to our speakers. Anybody who wants to jump in there?
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Thank you very much, ladies.
That was awesome.
Thanks, Mary Beth. Thanks, Karen.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Kev. It was good seeing you.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks for being here, everyone.
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies.
You did a great job.
Thanks, Chris.
I'd like to ask Mike F. to read the last three paragraphs on 164. Let me put those up for you, Mike. And get you unmuted. And oops, let's see. Just had you there.
Hey everybody, I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic. Our book is meant, a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Mike.
Let me read.
And we'll circle up virtually and close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you both so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you both. Thanks for being here, guys.
Great meeting,
Aaron.
Thank you.
Time well spent.
Yes.
Happy holidays and happy new year. Safe and happy,
happy
and healthy
to
all.
You.
Yeah. Too.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks. Thank you, Mary Beth. That was guys. Just stellar. I don't know about anybody else, but it was for sure what I needed to hear and learn and be aware of once again regarding the 11th step. That was phenomenal.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks for having us again.
If you ask anybody who's struggling if they have any kind of discipline, they'll tell you no.
Well, why don't you just
start reading 84 to 88 in my phone every night, and we'll talk about it, and I'll hear it in their voice change. Yeah. I listen to it on my answering machine, and I hear their voice start to change.
Yeah, there's nothing more true than that, because I've been around a little while and been back and forth between that 84 to 88 and regular meditation readings, and then I get into my own world and my own life and my own life problems, and then I stop doing those things, and I'm like, what's wrong? There's something wrong.
Come back home. Yeah, the other thing too is you know when I was brand new, someone told me to start reading it. You know, you don't have to do the first nine to start incorporating the disciplines of 10 and 11.
Yeah,
you know, you could start anytime. So
no, and, well, and to that point you kept bringing up about step three, like the connection to step three. Generally, when I'm working with new guys, once I get them to step three, and they like really seem convinced of taking that proposition and taking that position, then I lay this reading out in front of them to say, you know, this is where we're gonna end up. You might as well start here.
Yep.
You know
what
I mean?
Well, I love that promise that you really do get your thinking back appropriately. Oh, you do. It's like, okay, true. So here you give your will to God and God gives your will back to you.
Yeah.
So, you
proper
know,
use of the will.
So it's like six, I say, all right, so I'm just going to go and exchange it for something else. So it's the same thing like will. So just change the words. And they're like, that really doesn't happen. And I said, no, it really happened. To us anyway, like if you're not an us, you wouldn't believe me or understand me. But if you're an us, you get it. So it's a really powerful thing that I get to go down where I went to and rise up the way I feel. And I do it. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I do too. Grace. Amazing grace.
Grace.
All right, guys. All right, Kev, I'm really glad you came on tonight. It was good seeing you.
Oh, it was good talking to you and good hearing you tonight, Mary Beth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to see you. So he came with me from Jersey, him and Jenny from DFL.
Welcome,
all right, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us again. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming
thank
back.
You.
Right, take
thank
care,
you.
Everybody.
Enjoy anytime. See you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Bye.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks.
Okay, folks. So long.
Peace be with you.
Later.
Peace be with you. Happy holidays. Good job, Grant.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for jumping in there.
Oh, sure. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else, but hearing one of the ladies refer to Amazing Grace, that gave me a fresh experience with that. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Just it hit the ear a certain way.
Yeah.
And just, you know, kind of neat when those little fresh experiences show up.
Yeah, and the same way with the idea of returning home. You know, the door is wide open. Just come back home anytime.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
No, it was really good to hear them. Like, I've heard them both talk several times. I really got to hit Amy up and say thank you for that. Cause those two ladies as like speakers and big book, speakers in my early sobriety were at a couple of the meetings I used to go to regularly, and they like always had something that I was just like, wow, I didn't see that word before, or oh, that never even put that together before. And that they were very influential for me, and it's like what you're saying there, like just like, oh, Amazing Grace. That just hit me, you know. That was awesome.
Yeah.
What was the stuff they spoke on last time? I'm trying to remember. Two?
Was it two or three? I can't remember. I have to look at the list.
I think it was three.
Okay.
I can't remember either. But I immediately remembered them when they started talking, because they use the format in such a good way that nobody else does. They just keep going back and forth.
I love
that
it
so much. And very few people I take advantage of that opportunity. Amazing.
That's so true.
Yeah, they own it, man. They just
it's like they played off of each other.
Yep. Love that.
Also really like their accents.
Yeah.
I always love it when speakers are making a point and they're like trying to find the right word, and then they end up landing on, well, it's just simple actions, like your group, simple actions. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Just drop the meeting name right quick. Love it. I for a little bit I was like keeping score in my head of like how many meetings in a row the meeting name would get dropped, because for a while there it was happening like almost every week.
It happens pretty frequently, honestly.
It does. It still does happen very frequently.
That must mean something's right about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool thing that happened today. I got an email from Christy that, as you wouldn't be surprised, was just bubbling with joy and, you know, being thrilled of being there. But she said, I've been haunted by one of those questions like I wasn't sure how to answer it. And then I answered it. And then I got to thinking about it. It was the one about being a deadbeat dad or a bad dad. And she said, I went back and I talked to my son and I asked him the question and here's what he said. And you know, here's what I've thought about since then. And I felt like I didn't give that person very much hope. And so she just like had this whole like follow-up, you know, here's what my son said and here's what I wish I'd have said. And hopefully you could, you know, get that answer to him. And I called Larry and he said, yeah, I know exactly who asked that question. And I said, I'm going to forward you this email. And he said he would pass it on. Well, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That it still kind of had legs with her today. And she's felt inspired to expand on that and offer something.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Christy, does anybody remember the question about how about step 6 and 7, what that looks like? And she gave a really neat example about, and my computer started to cut out, about like feeling like she had something to prove recently and having to go to her sponsor with that. Does anybody remember what she said exactly?
I remember how I heard it, and the way that I heard it, she was sort of describing, or what I related to in me is a general sense of defensiveness, you know, mm-hmm. just like she would notice that she'd be out in the world explaining herself about something or trying to defend something and noticing that as a defect of character.
I knew I needed to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll get the recording out soon. Well, I'll let you know when I post it.
Sweet, thank you.
I tagged that on purpose. That's how I heard it. I don't know exactly what she said.
That was kind of the gist I was getting from it, which I needed to hear, and then my computer started being weird. So I'll go back and listen.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to jump off, y'all. Great meeting.
Peace be with you, my brother.
Thank you, Mike.
Good to see you, man.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Debbie.
Love your face, Debbie.
Love you guys.
I'm gonna hop off too. Thanks, Grant. Good meeting.
Thank you.
Love you, BJ.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Yeah, David. That message I sent you, I'm like in here and like listening and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And then all of a sudden out of the other room, I hear the TV just like, like blaring. And I'm like,
oh. Never. One of the things I've been doing of late, well, in my home group, not necessarily all of them, but I'll put it on speaker view instead of gallery view. Because the speaker then occupies a lot of my screen and I can kind of lean in and make eye contact with the speaker. And that really helps my attention. The gallery view, I end up getting distracted by how distracted everyone else is.
Mm.
You know, so-and-so is making something, you're looking away, talking to Harmony, you know, whatever, people are doing stuff. And then I start looking at that.
Yeah. No, I definitely try to do it in the speaker view because that helps. When I'm on this, I don't because of the switching back and forth. But normally I do. But you're right. There's like a lot of distractions in the screens. I don't find that as distracting because I feel like it's just sort of like when people are talking or doing whatever they do in the meeting. So it's, I don't know, it doesn't bother me nearly as much. But like, we don't have kids in the house tonight, but like kids kicking through doors and
yeah. I stay on dogs, the headset.
Dogs I got barking. And
yeah. The headset TVs. Helps that, you know, since I got, you know, my ears are covered. Like my wife's having a conversation with one of the kids right now. I can hear, I can recognize their voices, but it's just kind of muffled, you know? So I can hear you very well. And I can hear the other stuff going on in the house not very well. So it's easier, you know, to focus in on this.
True. Yeah. No, that was brilliant. And our talk today was brilliant. So
yeah, you changed the course of my day, bro. I'm really glad that we both hung in there with that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hop off, y'all. I love you guys.
Love you, man.
Have a good night.
Hey, David, was that meat not up to par?
I tell you what, man, it came. I hate to tell you this. It came out. It was the flavor was there, but it was a little bit dry, you know. And I kind of knew what I needed to do, but but I paired it with some roasted potatoes and a salad, and it was fine. Put it in the refrigerator. Slice that shit up today, cold. And it was the tastiest smoked roast beef I ever put in my face hole. I sliced it up and I put it on a Greek salad for dinner.
Nice.
And that shit is gone. But I know what I did wrong. So I'm just kind of learning my way around the smoker.
Yeah, you gotta toy with it a little bit. That's kind of what Jake was saying. But he's like weird perfectionist with certain things and is very, very particular, and I don't really understand how he's like jumped into creating some of the stuff that he has on that thing. But well, most people, like my sister's husband, were saying like he definitely had to mess with it for a while to really tweak it in the right way.
Well, like I tell people, like I like cooking, I don't like baking, right? I don't like following recipes. I don't like measuring things. You know, I just like throwing a bunch of shit together. And you cannot smoke meat like that. It's a fucking science.
Yeah,
you got.
Temperature, like there's a very tight temperature range
to do this correctly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
And if you spend all day getting something wrong, you need to know how to get what you did.
Yeah.
or it's worthless, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little fiddly. Listen to that. I got a bitch for like, give me 20 seconds to bitch. Cause you guys all know my refrigerator saga, right?
Yeah.
And then I waited to get the right one, man. Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I could have had one that would have been perfect. It would have been just fine, but it wasn't the exact one that I wanted. So I waited and I got it delivered today. And the nice man, all he was contracted to do was to drop it off on the street. I had to get it in the house. And he called me to let me know he was coming. I was like, can we work something out? And he helped me get it into the house. And I gave him $40 and said, Merry Christmas. And he hugged me. So there it is, man. I get the whole thing unpacked and everything. It's fucking beautiful. It's gorgeous black stainless steel. It's just the exact thing that I want. I wheel it into place. I hook it up. There's not a thing is out of place. Nothing is broken. Everything is perfect, man. I get it all, put it all together with my son. It's like, this is fantastic. And then I walked by it. Like after I got it all set up, I just walked by it and I heard it go, and then the water dispenser just started dispensing water. I'm like, what is this fucking motion activated or something, you know? And so then I treated it like I treat everything else, like, well, maybe that'll go away, you know? And yeah. So I cleaned everything up and then all of a sudden I walk in the kitchen and there's water on the fucking floor. I'm like, God damn it.
You have had a correct since like May.
Right when the meeting started, I'm on the phone with GE help support, right? And they can send a technician out on January 8th. And I'm just like I'm dying, man. So I don't know. I think, you know, like if I have to wait for the tech, or maybe I can call these people and say, listen, man, I've had this thing 24 hours, come get it, you know. I don't know, but I can't get it right, man.
Damn.
So it's not motion censored though.
No. What I think is happening is when the ice maker calls to be filled up, you know, when the ice maker says, hey, I just dumped my tray, I need some more water. When that thing turns on and fills the tray, it also dispenses at the exterior door. Right. Nice. There's this, yeah, you know, it's not in the manual. And the help desk guy at GE never heard of it.
Damn. All right, I gotta hop off. I love y'all.
Good night, Morgan.
Good night.
It's a fucking comedy, man.
I know. If it wasn't a tragedy, it had to be a comedy.
I go, I've been dying to make cold brew. Like my middle boy was like, will you make cold brew when we have a refrigerator that has room in it? I'm like, I will. And so then I go today and I'm getting ready to go make the cold brew. The little rubber stopper that holds the cold brew in place while it's brewing. That got cleaned up and thrown away. It's just fucking not available. I was like, God damn it. I can't get anything going.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that.
A fucking 25-cent rubber stopper crushed me. yeah, I needed to get some of that out. Thank you.
I feel you. I'm with you. I'm glad you're experiencing it as much as I am.
They're spectacular problems to have. Yeah. Oh, poor white man.
Well, I'm going to jump. It's good to see you, David. Thank you again.
You too. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, Jason.
Likewise. You all
have a good night.